DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. I'd like to say good evening to N4NLR, Minister Jim, over there in Greenville. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Mr. Jim. Hope you're doing well. And, gosh, I hadn't thought about that song in forever. It seems like there, Jim, I'm glad you brought that up. It's a really, really nice song. And, Jimmy Dean, he was around a good singer for a long time. And then he I don't know if he's still alive or not, to be honest with you. I know he has other businesses and things he deals with now. But, a lot of people don't remember him being a singer.
But I just happened to hear that on our local radio station, WESC FM. They usually play old classics on Sunday morning from about 6 to 10. And I don't know, it just sort of struck a chord with me to go. You just really listen to that song. It really makes you think what all mamas actually do. From a short order cook and anything else in between. It just really struck a chord to me the other day, or a few weeks ago, should I say. Anyway, yeah, he used to have a Jimmy Dean show actually on TV. And I mean, I remember watching that as a kid, and I was enjoying it.
KI4LZ, that was some information.
Go ahead, Andy.
There are certain websites, I know I go looking for it, and Robert Webster told me about it. Archive.org, Old Time Radio. You go on to that website, and you find, after you get on the homepage, so to speak, where it says Old Time Radio, go to that. I know I've done it with others, say, like, up at the right-hand corner of the page where it says Old Time Radio, but his name is Jimmy Dean, and you'll probably find everything about what he's done and every song he ever made. Back to y'all, KI4LZI. I use it a lot myself with some of the old time people from the Opry.
Bringing that in, I'm sure there's been some folks out there that will look that up, and it's always a good place to have a starting place, to go start looking for stuff like that. But thanks for bringing that to us. I do appreciate it. And Jim, Jimmy Dean, he's been around a good long while, but I enjoy listening to some of the old radio shows and stuff such as that. It seems a little corny now, with what we know and what we've seen in our lifetimes with technology and advances that we've had. But some of the old radio shows and some of the old country music and some of the old bluegrass and even further, in that kind of categories. You find out all kinds of good stuff about the way people lived and what they were going through.
Well, I guess they went through some hard times, and when you have children, though, they don't come with directions like you bring them out of a box. I mean, it's a hands-on situation.
Well, people probably wouldn't have children if they came with instructions.
Right, because each child is different. And, of course, that's what makes the world go around. Everybody's a little different. All right, Gary, I don't know if you have any more react to it or not, but I just thought chime in with that comment about the IOU song by Jimmy Dean, because it made me think what my mother did for me, and I know other mothers do for their children. It's really, really touching. But carry on with your nephew. I didn't mean to barge in on you if I did. So good evening to you, and I'll be on the side here, N4NLR.
coming in and talking with us for a few minutes. I enjoyed it. Maybe we can do it again sometime soon. In the meantime, you take care, and we'll say 73 to you. Do I have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS.
Now, KI4DOS, this is Kilo Oscar 4 Delta Zulu Sierra. KO4DZS, Scott in Pendleton, and I'll be negative and negative. Just listening, lurking tonight.
4DOS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. And I'd like to say good evening, KO4DZS. That's Mr. Scott lurking down there in Pendleton. Appreciate you being with us tonight, Scott. Hope you're doing well there, young man. Thanks for coming in and being with us and being part of the net. Come back, you know, as often as you can. You know you're welcome each and every night. Additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Going to wrap it up. Don't have any more rag cheers. Ran out of check-ins. Ran out of rag cheers. So I'll submit my net report, and we'll finish closing the net out. Looks like a grand total of 45 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night, and Mr. Patrick, KO4HKX, will be calling. Give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks to all those folks checked in with us tonight, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.
JBQ, JK4JBQ. KI4LZI.
4LZI. KK4JBQ here. How you doing, Andy?
One but one eye, but there again, I wasn't around in that time to know that. But I bet he's listed on that website just like Acuff and the rest of them are.
Talking about Jimmy Dean. Now, I was, I had the volume kind of low, so I kind of missed what the confusion was about what Jimmy Dean did. I'm a little older than you, I think. I'm coming up on 73. So, to me, Jimmy Dean was a singer before he ever made sausage or whatever. Anyway, is that what we're talking about?
KI4LZI, yes. NLR brought that up about Jimmy Dean. I'm aware of the sausage, too. Until I heard him talk about it being a singer, I wasn't aware that for certain that he was a singer. But I bet he's listed over there on that archive, though, if he sung any speak up any period of time way back.
KI4DOS.
Go ahead. I bet he's on that website.
I was talking about the song Jimmy Dean sang. It's called I-O-U, and it's about mothers. And yeah, he said he wished he had brought that to us around Mother's Day, so you know some other folks might listen to it. But that's what it was originally. His comment there. Over.
I think I'm connected again. Well, I know if it was pertinent, he decided. Well, he was doing something else. It's awful to miss an opportunity like that to speak of mothers. None of us would be here without one. That's a fact, ain't it? I had a glorious mom. Every once in a while, I remember such things as I remember when my mama taught me how to tie my shoes. Now, my mama worked in a cotton mill all her working life, and she worked in the spinning room. And when those bobbins were spinning the cotton onto, well, they were shuttles, actually, long spindle of raw cotton thread, sometimes they'd break. And my mama was proud of being able to reach up there with one hand. She'd be doing something else with one hand, and she'd reach up there with one hand, and she'd take the two ends of that broken string and tie a knot sufficient to get that going again. That was part of her job as a spinner. So she taught me how, and I tie my shoes today the way she taught me, which is unlike the way anybody else ties their shoes. I didn't think to mention that on Mother's Day either, but oh, wow. But Gary, you're old enough, I'm sure, to remember Jimmy Dean as a, well, he had a variety show. He sang, he was a recording artist, you know, you could buy his records, of course, but he also had a television show, and it was a variety show. Who was that fella? Much like many of the recording artists, they really coveted, I suppose, would be a word. Television, once that became a popular thing for people to do, they wanted a television show. Well, Jimmy Dean got a television show. Dean Martin was a recording artist and got a variety television show. Red Skelton was a stand-up comedian in his day, and he got a television show, again, a variety show. Those things are gone, as far as I know. Variety shows. Maybe they replaced them with reality shows. I much rather the variety show. KK4JBQ.
JI4LZI. On that very website, you can go, there's about old television shows, old radio shows, both on that archive. Whatever old there is, you can go to it. You can even find, I found where the old Johnny Cash TV shows of the early 70s is at on there. So if they done any singing, and this goes back as far back as I can tell, back to the Carter family, where they, the oldest singers, country music singers in there, goes back to the late 20s. So it's a high probability even the radio and TV shows will be there. Go ahead, Gary.
Thank you. I want to thank you for bringing that to the net and telling me and Larry about it. But y'all go ahead. I've got to jump off of here. I got to run in there and visit Mrs. Murphy, as they used to say. And I'll talk to y'all a little bit later. 7-3, guys. KI4LZI, KK4JBQ, KI4DOS.
KK4JBQ.
We'll talk to you later. I didn't know about it myself till some years back. Robert Webster told me about it, and I got to looking over that site, especially on the old radio site, and I meant it's just like a different world. Everything about old radio, the recording artists of the time, you can go through there and find everything Acuff ever done. And I'm sure Jimmy Dean Dunn, the Carter family, you name them, you'll find them on that website. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LZI by ID.
Okay. Here's one for you, Andy. It is not easy because his television show did not run that long, and he wasn't a big star and never became a big star, but he entertained my dad. And my dad, of course, when I was a little boy, my dad had control of the television. We watched what Dad watched. So he had a variety show. This is what links it back to what we were talking about. He had a variety show. He was a recording artist, music, you know, and he was of a different temperament. He was very relaxed, and Dad really enjoyed his music. He played an unusual instrument, though, And so here's my question for you. Do you remember Arthur Godfrey? This is the guy I'm talking about. And if you do, what was his instrument? What instrument did he play? I'll give you a hint. It was stringed instrument. It had strings. I'll give you another hint. Four strings. KK4JBQ.
KK4LZI. Well, believe me, I've learned a lot since Robert told me about this website. There's a lot that I still don't know. I vaguely remember the name that you're talking about, but after finding out about this archive.org from Robert, when he used to be the net manager, he told me at that time. So that shows you how many years now it's been. I've learned all kinds of things that I never knew, because it was obviously before my time, but about some of the ones there at Opry, and like I found out also about those old episodes of the Opry there that started in the fall of 39 that Prince Albert carried on up until, I have to look, I ain't got that far. If I live long enough, maybe one day I'll hear them all, but on up, way on up to whenever they went under, so to speak, out of business.
You know, if you're the kind of person that don't mind doing the research, a lot happened before you were born. That's, you know, all of us. A lot happened before we were born. And you don't live long enough, no human does, long enough to fill up a life, to learn everything you want to learn. And we go through a day so fast anymore that we don't pay a great deal of attention to things that are going on around us. And some things like, you know, recent events that I won't mention, they capture your time. And you're glued to the television. And you want to hear what everybody's opinion is. That's really what things are about today. But in another time, some might say an easier time, people went looking on the four channels of television that might have been available, looking for entertainment. And go back to Arthur Godfrey. He played an ukulele, and he taught his audience how to pronounce the name ukulele. I had always called it a ukulele. Well, it's not. It's a Hawaiian instrument. That's where it has its origins, in our 50th state, Hawaii. And in the original language, it's ukulele. Yeah, so he played, and it's a tiny little instrument. It's easy for anybody, well, I should say, you know, it's pretty easy to pick up and learn how to play. He was a strummer. An uke is not something that you play notes on that much. I guess you could, but it's a fretted instrument like a guitar. But it's very small, got four strings. I believe classically the strings are made of nylon instead of steel. But anyhow, that's Arthur Godfrey. He was a comedian and a singer. What I can't recall, he had a mascot. I think it may have been a hound dog. But this hound dog was a puppet. And this was kind of popular too in that day. The MC, or master of ceremonies on the show, would have sometimes a mascot or a sidekick, you know, to talk to George Burns, I think, had had a what was his a butler. I think it was a butler named Roscoe, I think. And that's who he would talk to. George Burns talked to his wife, who was really terribly smart, but she played a dumb blonde. She was pretty, and she was blonde-headed, her name was Gracie Allen. She didn't change her name to Burns when they married. So it was George Burns and Gracie Allen. And Gracie was, she was a firecracker. I just really enjoyed her. You can still listen on YouTube because, you know, George Burns, he lived a long time, probably over 100. And he starred in some movies late in his life. So he kept in the public eye, you might say. He kept his good health for a very long time. Anyhow, Andy, yeah, we could play this song. But I suppose Arthur Godfrey was before your time, am I right?
Well, I'm 60, I was born in late 63.
So, he was on television during your young years, in the 60s. Probably left television before you were in big boy's pants. You know, somewhere between diapers and big boy pants. That's when his show went off air. I don't know whatever happened to him, but he was a kindly gentleman. He had a baritone voice, which is kind of it's hard to describe baritone, but it was a rich, deep voice. Not many high notes at all. He sang like he talked. It was no effort for him to sing, was the impression. And the little ukulele that he just strummed that thing. He maybe had a full band backing him up, but he strummed along, and he was actually playing it. A lot of people after that, became kind of a project of mine to watch people who supposedly were playing during performances on television. Now, you could tell if you play guitar, you can tell if they're actually playing along with the music or that they're just faking it, so anyway, Arthur Godfrey played along with his musical, his segments of his show that were musical. But Jimmy Dean, now he sang, you know, but he also had other guests on, and they would do the thing that they're known for. It was interesting. Who was another one? Another one that my dad liked, and I can see his face, but I can't grab his name right away. It may come to me. But he sang, and he wanted, here's a hint if you know who I'm talking about. He faked having a few drinks before every show. He would, and it was part of his singing style too. He would slur a little bit, and he didn't make any bones about it. He threw a few back every once in a while, but I don't think he had, his real life wasn't quite like that. Alcohol was not as big a deal as he let on. I was reading later about that after he'd already gone off, after he'd already passed, I suppose. Anyhow, it's interesting to look back. We don't have anybody listening. I'm pretty sure everybody else has fallen away. It's just you and me, Andy. KK4JBQ.
But come on in. What I'm primarily talking about was archive.org and pretty much country music, pretty much. going, well, NLR mentioned Jimmy Dean, and Claire knew about him. I didn't know he was a singer, but that was before, as he said, was my time. But if there's anybody else wants to come in, come on in. I'll pause just for a bit.
Oscar 4 Delta Zulu Sierra, I had a comment.
Go ahead.
Yeah, you were mentioning the archive.org. Just out of coincidence, you know, they got hacked about a week ago. They had a denial of service attack on them. But, yeah, I use it a lot for old computer software and old computer operating systems. It's good for that. That's why it's pretty amazing. It really is. But, and you also mentioned the one guy that used to talk to his butler. I believe that was Jack Benny, and the butler's name was Rochester.
They had been attacked. I hope I got it straightened out. That may explain something that I wondered about a week or so ago. Go ahead, Larry, KI4LZI ID.
We'll remember one thing about halfway, and it shares reality with another memory. Oh, heavens. Go ahead, Andy.
I hope I got that issue straightened out on that, because I think about a week or so ago I tried to bring that side up and couldn't. Now I know why I couldn't. But I hope nothing didn't spread, but it might answer some questions, because I like that side. I'm glad Robert told me years ago about it, because anything about old-time radio, you're going to find there in old-time television as well. Good station, go ahead.
Yeah, this is KL4DZS. Yes, yeah, you can pretty much find almost anything over there. That's the whole thing of it. It's, you know, it's the internet. Like I said, I use it for old software. It's the Internet Archive. But, yeah, it is back up now. But that's probably why you couldn't get on it about a week ago, because they had a denial of service, a DDoS attack on it. And I don't know why anybody would attack that. You know, that's ridiculous, because that site helps everybody out. But, yeah, they got it fixed. And they're in a lot better shape than LOTW anyways right now.
Go ahead.
KW is one of those old sites. It might be the one you're talking about. I found a lot of old archives of ham radio calls, like a call book. There's another site that I remember, it was wayback.archive.org. K4LZ.
That's like we're talking about, and I know about RadioBoulevard.com website about the old ancient gear, but even I don't know everything.
Soaking here in the tub reading the mail. I'll let y'all get back with it. I got to get out. Get dried off.
Well, I thought about who Jack Benny's, I think he was a driver, perhaps a butler, I'm not sure. His name was Rochester. And they had an ongoing thing, you know, anytime. Jack Benny was a case. Entertaining in a certain way. Nobody else liked him. And he was a bit strange. I'll put it that way. Did not sing. He did not. He wasn't me. But it had a television show. And that's about as much as I can remember. I remember his voice. I remember Rochester's voice. He told a lot of... He was a comedian. Jack Benny was. Told a lot of jokes. The kind of jokes that you could hear. They were clean jokes, you know. It was kind of that on early television. You'll find nothing there that Well, not much, maybe. That would offend you. I cannot imagine why some people, you know, and I'll add this. Goodness, when was it? Probably 20 years or so ago now. I went to a school that taught, among other things, computer networking. And it was an associate's degree, a college degree, not as long and not as involved as a formal 4-year degree. It was 2 years. So I earned an associate degree in computer networking. And now I've lost the train. Can't explain as much as I'm tempted to do it. I find myself explaining what I'm going to say and then forget what I'm going to say about it. Anyway, I'll turn it back to you, Andy. It might pop back in. KK4JBQ.
Who's supposed to take it? I think the other station's supposed to take it, but I wish I remembered your call sign, the first one to pop in with us. Go ahead and pick it up. KI4LCI, because I can't remember your call.
It's Kilo Oscar 4 Delta Zulu Sierra. The name is Scott, and I'm in Pendleton. But Jack Benny was very, I guess, risque, I guess you'd call it. But I thought he hung around with, like, Bing Crosby and Bob Hope and them. He was part of that group, wasn't he?
Crosby, Bob Hope. Well, he was the same vintage. I don't know that Jack Benny was ever a part of a group that hung around together. He was pretty unique. I know that there was like Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr. and Bing Crosby, perhaps. They called themselves the Rat Pack. Is that what you're thinking of?
I know the Rat Pack, but I thought he hung out with like Bob Hope and them, and maybe not, but yeah, it's like I said, I'm a little younger too. Like I said, I'm 59, but my parents, you know, I'm in the same boat. You know, we watched early when I was a young kid. I watched what Dad had on the TV.
Now, I've explained it this way. You were a remote control for your parents, whoever it was, had control of the television, before remote controls were ever a thing. You had a small child. As long as they understand the language, you could give them orders if you were a parent. And that's, you know, I took the orders and kept the sound where my dad liked it, kept the channel where my dad liked it. And when we had a set that every once in a while had a weak tube in it, I think, and its horizontal hold was flaky, the picture would start to roll vertically, you know, would roll from the bottom to the top, from the bottom to the top. Tear a picture all to pieces. And so there were on CRT televisions of that vintage, there were little controls behind a little door usually, little controls that you could fiddle with when that was a problem. It just occurred to me that if they were more stable, like televisions today, if they were more stable, there'd be no reason to have a little knob behind a little door on the front of the television set if it wasn't something that would be adjustable every once in a while. Anyhow, yeah, I'm glad CRTs are gone. KK4JBQ.
Sometimes those controls would be on the back of a television. I know I got one out there in the old building that we had here in the mid-70s that the old man got in the late 60s. RCA Victor, color TV. Half is a devil made out of pure wood, full of vacuum tubes. On that particular set, you had to get to the back of the set to adjust that. Then others, as you say, they put it on the front. I don't know why in the world on that particular set they put it at the back, but they did. JI4LZI, another station, go ahead.
This is KO4DZS. Basically, you should have a horizontal hold, a vertical hold, and then you should have several ones that would do the, that would pretty much do the size, like the horizontal width and the vertical width. And there, a lot of times there was one that would align it diagonally too, if it got stuff like that, you know. But yeah, I learned young on those. Probably fixed my first old color TV when I was like 7.
I was talking about out there, it takes 2 people to move it. No one can, it takes 2. Go ahead, Larry. JI4LZI.
Children who were originally a parent's remote controlled. Well, I remember the day that my dad got a new RCA set, still cathode ray tube, but a new set. This one was still black and white. Yes, and it had a remote control, an actual box, and it was a sizable box, as I recall, and it didn't operate like the remotes that we all use today for various pieces of equipment. This thing, when you pressed a button, it made a click, a very solid click, and I think it sent out, it wasn't an infrared signal, it wasn't, it didn't go over Wi-Fi and then come back into the television set the way some controls are today, but it made a clicking sound, and I don't know if the television was listening for that click or if that sent out a certain vibration that it could pick up. It was absolutely one of the first remote controls. My dad was very fond of that thing, and I was really proud that the family had that, because I was no longer the child remote control. Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah, that brings back some... Well, television was a... It was a different creature back then. It is different from wherever you were in the country, but we had 3 channels that we could receive. NBC... ABC, CBS, that was it. That's the network that was carried on the 3 channels. So you planned your watching, and there was no recording of television programming for watching at your convenience to fit into your schedule. No, you sat down and turned the TV set on just before it aired. You had to watch everything live, so to speak. So today I don't think I could live that way any longer, and it's only because we don't consume a great deal of television, my wife and I. We have a recorder, many people do, that record a program, and we watch it when it fits in. And we have a meal, and we look at what has been recorded. We can ask the recording to take the machine to record the things that we want to see, so we don't have to, you know, bear seeing something on any channel, you know, flipping through channels. I haven't done that in a very long time, and see stuff that we have no interest in. Well, and also, if it is recorded, I think this particular recorder does so on a hard drive, computerized, isn't everything? But if it's recorded television, you can fast forward, it's on a hard drive, you can fast forward through, you know, the parts that don't matter much to you. Get my meaning? KK4JBQ.
Might have doubled with you. I'm not sure, Larry, but what I was saying there, that old RCA Victor out yonder from the back in the late 60s, it's full of vacuum tubes. And no one in the cabinet that's seen this genuine wood, no one person can move that sucker by itself. It takes two people to move that thing. The other station wouldn't take it.
KO4DZS. Yeah, the audible sounds, the remote, the TV did listen for that. That's why they called them clickers. And the audible tones were different. They were slightly different. I don't want to say frequency, but they would have been different length. And the TV at the time could pick that up. And that was the original mode. That's why they called them clickers. But it would listen for that tone. And there was a different, slightly different tone for the different functions.
That I've often wondered. It's hard to come by anything like that today. Maybe impossible to come by anything like that today. And rare that someone might be able to explain that. And I'm glad you filled me in on that. My dad was real proud of it. He never let anybody else operate it either. So anyway, television has become a thing that is real entertainment. As I suggested, we watch only what we have recorded to watch, and we can fast forward if we're not interested in what's going on, and pick right up again. There's even on this particular machine that we're using, some programs, but I don't know how this is arranged, but there's a skip button. So you come up to a commercial, there's going to be a commercial break, and you can press that skip button and it'll skip right by. No fast forwarding, no seeing something on the screen going real fast. It'll just skip it and pick right up when you've returned from commercial break, let's say. That's what its intention is, and it's only a few programs that are like that, but... Oh, that'll spoil you, boy. That'll spoil you right now. So what it does actually is it does what we wanted it to do. We had that meal, as I said, and no more than an hour and a half. That's how much we give up to television, and we watched exactly what we're interested in seeing. So that's, I'll tell you. I don't like admitting that I'm spoiled, but I am spoiled to that. KK4JBQ.
4LZI. One thing about it, of course, this was in the radio days back in the Sears catalog back in the radio days. It was somewhere around 33, 34, somewhere in there. They've got an old radio, clock radio, the big kind, don't know the name that I'm thinking of, grandfather's clock radio. The clock's up there, the radio's in it, and they call this a remote, but it's not a remote in the sense that we would think about it today. It's a wire that goes to the clock radio in the clock. It comes out to where it's, say, like if you got a couch or a seat there, and you can punch the buttons there. And that's in the old Sears catalog about one of those old grandfather clocks that had AM radio in it. And they called that a remote. But that was back then, too.
Sandy, you brought a memory back. That was... I have to say that was probably one of the first remotes, the wired remotes. As a matter of fact, during a certain period of time, I was fond of video, VCRs, video cassette recorders. And This is in the, oh goodness, must have been the early 90s vintage. They had wired remote controls. You had to keep it handy, and you couldn't, you know, the wire might have been 10 feet long, but that would mean you'd have to sit with this thing in your hand 10 feet away from the screen, or maybe that fits your room, maybe it didn't. But anyhow, it was less convenient than what came later, which for televisions, it was the clicker, and then infrared remotes, and now I do believe that the one remote that I have is well, it sends out a radio signal, so the infrared remote, you had to aim it, because the little light that was in the remote and then the little receiver on the set, you had to get those, you had to point it right at that little light. And some were better than others. You didn't have to target it. It was a wider beam of infrared light. But this one is, oh gosh, I forget the exact way they term it. It's a radio control signal. And it sends it, you could, oh, let's say it's chilly in the room, and you bring a blanket over on yourself. I've done this. You know, heat goes off, and room gets cold, you pull a blanket over you. And the remote is outside the blanket. Well, it doesn't matter with one of these radio-controlled remotes. You can be in your hand underneath the blanket, right? You know, and that was so cool. That's been around 10 years or more, I suppose. Anyway, convenience and utility, for sure, yeah. That increases over time, and I'm not fooling myself. Don't either of you guys fool yourself. You're not up to date. You can't be. technology runs away. And the next thing you might see is something that'll totally surprise you. JK4, JPQ.
Another station, go ahead.
A lot of the remotes, most of them, a lot of them are still IR, but you're talking about RF remotes. And yeah, I have a, I use the, they don't make them anymore, but I had the Logitrek remotes that they used. And that one, it actually has a hub. It'll control everything. It works real good with Alexa and stuff like that, but that is an RF remote. It'll work through that. But, yeah, I think what you're going to see now, the next biggest, well, it's happening now, but over the next 5 years, to see where this AI takes us, that's going to be interesting. And I'm in, like I said, I was in EEC, which is at Clemson, which was electrical engineering computers. So I live this stuff. It's, you know, kind of grew up around it. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun. I spent a lot of time. Enjoy it, though. I definitely enjoy it.
KI4LZI. Well, it's in that from back 3334 of the grandfather clock with the AM radio in it. That they called it a remote then, but it's wired by, they showed there with wires hooked into the remote in the picture they showed there where they're advertising it. Now, obviously, it goes, hooks up to it, but that's got to be the first so-called, even though it ain't a remote like today, so-called thing called a remote that I've ever seen as far back as I can think of, and this is just in the old radio catalog. You two go ahead and carry on, and I'll keep listening for the next 2 or 3 minutes, but I'll have to go take my insulin here shortly, but I just thought I'd throw that in because I seen that in this series catalog from radio from 1930 to 42. That has this one that I got over here in it, too, and just thought I'd throw that out, that they called that a remote. even though it really isn't. So, y'all go ahead, KI-4.
KI-4-DZS. It's a remote, it's just not a wireless remote. Yeah. Our first cable box back in the late 70s was there was a box at the TV, and then you had a tethered box that you could take to your chair, and it had a bunch of buttons on it and a couple switches, and that's how you got your cable TV channels.
I remember that as well. Andy, if you're still listening, I'll wait till you come back. Anyhow, the remote that I have not gotten on board with, and I don't think I ever will, is the voice control. We have a fairly new television, and every so often it'll ask me, would you like to set up voice activation? So you can speak to the thing, which means that, you know, like the smart speakers, I won't say the name because she'll wake up, the smart speakers respond to a wake word. We can give it a name. But, you know, to listen for a wake word, it's listening all the time. Makes me a little bit edgy, I gotta say. So when the new television, we've had it, a year and a half or so, when it comes on and it says, would you like to set up voice command? I say, no, thank you. I don't want to have to talk to it. Well, for one thing, even with the smart speaker, you gotta ask the question, if it's a question, you gotta ask it in a certain way. You can use certain words. There's a trick to using it, of course. And my speech is extemporaneous. It's what comes flying through my head, as you might well know by listening to this conversation. And I just don't want to talk to my television and tell it what to do. I'll be happy to pick up a remote and do what I need to do. But the Logitech remote you were talking about, I've had a few of those. They were the Harmony line. And the Harmony part was to get everything to work together. That is Harmony, isn't it? That was a clever name for their remote. And so here's the scenario that remote was actually made for. You've got a television. You've got a VCR. You've got a digital video recorder, perhaps. You've got an FM radio. You've got an amplifier that everything is going through. And you've got seven remotes on the table next to your chair watching television. Seven remotes. Well, Harmony, and I'm sorry to hear that they're no longer making that, the Harmony remote would allow you to program. It was kind of tedious, but you could program and just hold one remote. Right now, I've got like five remotes sitting on the table next to me, so we went backward. KK4JBQ.
Harmony remotes work really well. I mean, I use it all. That's what I use. You know, I still use it. And I'm really going to hate it when this stuff either loses. They're still supporting it, and I'm going to hate it when it fails and I have to come up with another option. Because it works too well, and it does work well with the A word. I use it. I don't mind using it. There's a difference between, you know, listening for a wake word and listening to and recording your conversations in your house. That's not happening. But the Harmony remote, it I'm really gonna miss that when it fails. I'm gonna have to come up with another replacement of some kind, because it does such a good job at that.
It does, and I got spoiled to it. But then it so happened that we changed televisions, we changed amplifiers, changed DVRs, and I couldn't find a way to program the Harmony remote. But still, I wasn't aware that they've moved on to other things. It was so very convenient after you got it programmed. Now, the instruction manual was something else for the Harmony remote. But I figured it out, and I got to where I could, every once in a while, something would happen and I would lose the control of a certain device. Certainly when I changed to a different device or brought a new kind of device in, say a DVD player, for instance, and you look it up in the manufacturers, you know, what it was actually, and then who manufactured it, and so on and so forth. It was a bit long to get it to work as it should, but then it was, the convenience cannot be, can't argue with that kind of convenience to have one remote. As I was saying, the television asks rarely, but it asks on some sort of schedule, would you like to set up, and I'm glad it does this, it doesn't assume, but I tell it no, because it will have to listen, and I'm careful, just to be plain about it, I'm careful about anything that's connected to the internet. For our purposes, there's like four or five computers running here in the house that carry different information, you know, and we're connected via, pretty high speed connection. So if something broke out, it's gone. It's gone at the speed of light. I've been aware for some time that you can get bit. Some friend of mine, a neighbor actually, came to my door and complained that his computer wouldn't work anymore. The people know that I have a little bit of knowledge with a computer, so I went over and I turned it on, and his computer was frozen because it had been disabled by malware. And we came to find out, and this distressed this man, of course it did, that it was going to cost him $800 to get the function of his computer back. I learned later that he paid it. Now, that is something that is irresistible to a thief.